And thank you for joining us today. We're excited to have you on. Thank you for, you know, your patience, and especially now having to do this over Zoom. It's definitely challenging. But we compiled 16 questions just to like kind of go through, and we did have some like overall objectives with this podcast. So with them, we just really wanted to gain a better understanding of like what you do and what WIT is as a whole, and just kind of like your daily tasks and responsibilities, like when you go to work or now that you're working from home, like how have those changed?
Well, sure. I'm Ann Burke. I am the vice president of the Economic Development Council of Western Mass. I also do some work with communities as a consultant on my own. But I've been working in this field for over 30 years in economic development, and I've been with the EDC for almost, over 15 years. A lot of my work involves, involves working with different industry sectors. And recently, in the last few years, we've really been interested in how do we support entrepreneurs. And out of that came this notion that Western Massachusetts was a good place for women entrepreneurs and innovators to launch their entrepreneurial aspirations and pursue their sort of dreams of growing their businesses here in Western Mass. And we came to that conclusion. I was working with Valley Venture Mentors and looked at their demographics of who is coming through their accelerator programs, what kinds of businesses were they seeing. And there were a disproportionate number of women-led teams or women involved in teams of entrepreneurs coming through their program. And we were seeing similar kinds of statistics and data coming out of Spark and some of the other college campuses through the Grand Spoon program and other academic institutions in the region. That coupled with the fact that we have some women's colleges, you know, with Mount Holyoke and Smith and Baypath and others who are supporting and focusing on trying to support women entrepreneurs. So Liz Roberts, who was the CEO of Valley Venture Mentors at the time, and myself, we pulled together a leadership team of foundations, women business owners, some of the women presidents of the colleges and others in the region to ask the question, was, is this true? Can we really plant our flag in Western Mass and make the claim that this is a good place for women entrepreneurs and innovators to launch their ideas and to grow? And we think it is. So we set out to try to pull together a group of supportive women from a variety of different industry sectors and academic institutions and philanthropic organizations to see how we can support the growth support the ecosystem that helps women entrepreneurs thrive here in Western Massachusetts. And that has how WIT was born. And from then has grown this network of women. It's not an organization or a program. It's really a network of women who are supporting other women. And it's evolved a little bit to be a little more broad than just women entrepreneurs, but also looking at women and helping them grow their professional careers and be supportive of each other in that process. So that's sort of the subset of work that I do. I work through the EDC with a lot of different initiatives around supporting our different industry sectors. I work with downtown management organizations that try to look and support how downtowns and commercial centers grow and remain vibrant. And all of these things have been sort of thrown up in the air since in the last month or so. And everyone is sort of adjusting to what we are looking at in the economy and what people are looking at personally and how cities are responding to this particular crisis. And I think we'll see that continue to evolve. I don't think anybody has the answers to that question right now.
Awesome. So going off of that, you did kind of cover just like about yourself and kind of what led you to pursue that. So I'm going to jump ahead. So what would you say are some of your fondest achievements or just even memories since you've started working with this organization?
So when we started working with, I'm just going to kind of focus on WIT right now, but I think that because we're jumping back and forth between what I do kind of globally as an economic development and then what I'm doing specifically around WIT. I think one of I think one of the things that I have been really interested to see happen with WIT is the sort of organic growth of this movement. And essentially we have, now we have a couple of hundred women who are really ranging in expertise and experience from people who are in college to people who have been owners of their companies for, you know, 30 years to college presidents to people who are writing their business plan on the back of an envelope. And it really covers a broad range of experience, a range of geography. We have people from the Worcester area through the Berkshires up to Vermont and covering all four Western Mass counties. We have people who, it's a very ethnically diverse group of people. So we have women who are from the Latino community, African-American women, and then we have, it's very generationally diverse too. So it's nice. It seems to resonate with people from across a lot of different industry sectors. And I really like that. And because we have established things like a mentoring program. And we have established, we tried to set up create a loan fund, and we've been educating people about how to be investors so that women can invest who have the means in other women-owned businesses, and trying to like cover the gamut of what does it take to support an ecosystem that supports women in their entrepreneurial ambitions. So what I'm most proud of is we launched last year a mentoring program, the WIT Mentor Match. And last year we had 20, with the first cohort, we had 20 matches. And this March, really, literally a week before everybody shut down, we launched the second cohort and we had 47 matches. So we had almost 100 women in mentoring relationships in that second cohort. We had 97 women participating. So one of the things that we did early on was establish a strategic planning process, and we looked at what do people need. And one of the things that came through loud and clear was the need for mentoring. And so we've launched this mentoring program with WIT. And I think that's probably going to be sort of the signature thing that happens with WIT. Other than that, there's a lot of anecdotal evidence that this network of women are supportive of other women and helping them network, connect to resources, be supportive in a mentoring relationship and other ways that they can support this ecosystem.
Awesome. That's all really, really interesting. So similarly, what are some things that you kind of just look to accomplish in the years to come?
I think what I would like to accomplish as it relates to WIT in the years to come is to continue to expand on the strategic partnerships that we've started with organizations like the Women's Fund, with the various colleges and universities, with women investors who are interested in being angel investors, and try to continue to expand on those strategic partnership, women in STEM, so that you're beginning to see tapping into the expertise and again, across industry sectors, across areas of interest, so that you continue to build that network of women. And again, this is just an organic network, that it's really not a program, it's not a company, it's a network of women, and building the sustainable sort of leadership structure and strategic partnerships in order for that to continue to grow and expand is something that I look forward to in the next few years. And how do you make that sustainable and continuing to grow and add others in the mix? I think that's what's going to make it successful in the long run.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Kind of like going off of that, how has your growth been, like personal and professional wise, over the years you've been with WIT?
Well, WIT's relatively new. It's only a couple of years old. So I've been doing this for quite a while. And I think it is interesting how my personal interests have grown is my background is in economic development and planning. And so I have worked with manufacturers and lots of different industry sectors. And for me, about 5 years ago, we made the strategic decision within our own organization with the Economic Development Council that we needed to continue to grow entrepreneurs in Western Massachusetts, that this was really important for us to do. If we look at how Western Massachusetts, the composition of the business community in Western Massachusetts, over 70% of the companies that are here in Western Massachusetts have 20 employees or fewer. So we know that this is an area that is rich with small businesses. And then we look at some of the larger businesses that are here, like the Mass Mutuals of the world, the Friendlies of the world, the Big Y's of the world. Those are entrepreneurs who started those businesses here. So some of our anchor institutions that are here grew up as businesses that were born here. And so we're looking at both the reality of who's here. We are comprised of small businesses, and then the opportunity to grow some of these small businesses into larger businesses that will continue to grow and be part of this, the infrastructure, the economic infrastructure of Western Mass. So personally, learning more about and trying to support the ecosystem that encourages entrepreneurship in Western Massachusetts has been something that has evolved for me over the last 5 to 10 years that I have been more involved in than I had previously.
So the next question I had was, throughout the years and your experience with WIT or WIT, what factors of it do you think benefit the community as most for your like overall network?
I think that the inclusivity of WIT that allows access to women who are interested in supporting other women in their entrepreneurship and in their professional development, whether they're very experienced and have the time and the interest to give back in that way to newer entrepreneurs or women who are newer in their career path. I think that's the benefit to the community is that as that body of women grows and across different industry sectors, there's the ability to be supportive to more women. And allowing them to stay here, to grow their businesses and to be successful here in Western Mass, even if they're not entrepreneurs, but if they're in various points along their career, having a network of women that you can tap into to help you grow your career ambitions. That is what I think that this group or this network of women through WIT, how that benefits the community. And I say the community is the broader, in the broader sense of the word, the community of Western Massachusetts and beyond.
So I just have a question for you. Looking out into like other walks of the United States or even Massachusetts, do you see any other like networks that are like WIT that resemble the same kind of values that you guys have, or do you think you guys are kind of the leader of your what you guys are trying to do?
Oh, that's a great question, Tyler. I I know that there are certainly other networks of women trying to support other women. If you look at things like Golden Seeds, mm-hmm. Golden Seeds is an angel fund that is primarily investing in women-led or women-owned businesses. And they are in, you know, Boston and New York, but they have chapters throughout the country, and people who are looking to invest in women-led initiatives. We know through the data will show that women are underfunded in invest in angel and venture capital investing by a significant margin, and so having the ability to grow and to encourage more women to invest in women-led or women teams with women participating is something that is happening across the country and across the world. So there are pieces of what we're doing that others are doing as well. And I think that we've actually tapped into Golden Seeds and trying to do some training out here in Western Massachusetts to help women who have the means and want to be angel investors to learn how to do that and how to do that effectively. So yeah, I think there are certainly others who are working in this area. Uh-huh. I think that this is a grassroots effort. So I'm sure there are others. That one thing you learn in entrepreneurship is to say you're not unique. I'm sure there are others, and we are learning from what other people are doing. But I think that we're the only group like this in the region, and so certainly we're trying to learn from other people and what they're doing around mentorship and around investing from other places. So we're trying to learn best practices from other places as well.
Going off of like the whole other factors of other places and stuff, do you plan on venturing off into other areas, or do you plan on staying?
I think that I don't know where that leads. Actually, I think that that's a great question. I think that there are things that we're learning from our model of how the mentoring program works that we would. That I think are applicable to other places and could be as we're using a platform right now that Valley Venture Mentors is using, and that platform is being used around the country. We're tweaking it and to make it work for us. So I think that there are lessons that we learn as we do this a few times that make it better, and hopefully that is transferable to other locations as who are looking into using the platform that we're currently using, or if there are other platforms that make more sense to us down the road. So I'm not sure we're a franchise, but I think it's more of an organic growing network. And I think that's going to be the thing that gives it legs over time, is that if you can really, you know, people can participate as in a variety of different ways. So if they want to be really deeply involved in this, they can. If they want to just touch base on, I'm only interested in mentoring, I'm not really interested in the networking sessions, or I'm not really interested in investing, they can really access into WIT, you know, whatever, in whatever way that makes the most sense for them.
Awesome. So looking at where you are now in your career and just in life in general, what do you think were some of the crucial steps to getting where you are now?
I think that when I graduated college, I worked my first job was selling copiers, and quickly decided that I really didn't want to sell copiers. But I think that it's a really great thing for everybody to do, because really in some aspects of everything you do, there's an element of sales. So learning how to do that, and it is probably not a bad point of experience for, you know, whatever path you choose in later in life. I eventually decided to go back to graduate school, and I went back and got my master's degree in economic development and planning. And that really led to a variety of opportunities, whether, you know, to decide whether you wanted to work in municipal government, or you wanted, I did not want to work in municipal government. I chose to go down a more of an economic development pathway in the private sector and also working with downtown organizations. And it's been an evolving career. So you get, you find things that present themselves and stimulate your interests. And then you kind of can work in that direction as time goes on. And I think it gives you a body of work that gives you a things that you find joy in and the things that you enjoy doing within your career. So I think having the educational background and pursuing my master's degree in this field, you know, gave me the foundation to continue to go forward. But I've been working in the field for many years and run my own organizations and worked with downtown groups and working in different industry sectors and now working in entrepreneurship areas. It's just sort of evolving as my interests evolve.
Awesome.
I just lost the questions.
I've got them.
We've kind of been jumping around and
that's okay.
And adjusting and going with what you've said and asking which ones will kind of fit best. So we kind of jumped out of order completely, but
that's okay.
So exactly what opportunities are you providing for the women of this community who want to fulfill their entrepreneurial ambitions?
Well, I think the opportunities are what we're trying to do with WIT is to have sort of regularly scheduled networking meetings. So if people want to come and network face to face, or you know, going forward, who knows, we may be doing more Zoom meetings or those kinds of things, but we have some regularly scheduled opportunities for people to get together. We try to bring topic specific speakers to come in, and we ask people to tell us what they want to hear about. So it could be things like how to be a better negotiator, how to handle stress, you know, work-life balance, you know, lots of different kinds of things that people are personally or professionally interested in. So the networking is one. The really fairly structured mentoring program is another path, an opportunity for people to participate. And then I think the third thing is really our ability to make connections for people. And so I think accessing that, I think those are the key things that people who are involved in WIT as a network of women find to be most helpful.
Awesome.
So your next question here has something to do with what do you believe can be improved with WIT? And I think that is, I would love to respond to that, because I think right now it's being led by, you know, a small team of women who are we have a very flat organizational structure. So, you know, and people have situations where their life or situations impact their ability to be really active. So right now it's primarily all people who have other jobs and are working on this network as volunteers. And I think what it will take to have WIT continue to grow and to continue to be supportive of the women who are part of this network is to look at its sustainability from a manpower point of view. You know, how do we really need to, we have a couple of part-time people, we really need to look at how we eventually staff something like this, or and then how do we find bring the resources to bear to support some of the expenses around doing the kind of program that we want to do. And the third thing is how do you create the strategic partnerships that really really make you strong? You know, and I think that those are all things that we continue to work on in order to be successful.
Besides WIT, what are the other things you're passionate about?
Well, personally, I'm very passionate about cities, healthy downtowns. And I've spent a lot of time working with communities of all sizes, look at how to create vibrant city centers or town centers. So, and that's evolved too over time. So originally, a lot of that work revolved around creating strong retail cores. But as retail has evolved, city centers have evolved as well, so that they tend to be more multidimensional, and they include things like housing and cultural programming and arts and safety and retail and dining and entertainment opportunities. So they tend to be more holistic. So you think about the kinds of places that you go and you love. You think about what are the kind of elements that those places have that you find interesting. I'm going to throw this out to you. So I want each of you to say one thing. What's the one thing that if you go to a place, if you go to any place that you visited that you love, what's the first thing that comes to mind about that city center? First thing. Go on, pop it up.
Maybe the smell.
Food, maybe.
Food, okay.
I was going to say smell because, like, sometimes if you go to, like, New York City, it kind of smells a little weird. And you could definitely, I don't know. That's just, like, the first thing I noticed.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Sydney, what about you?
Honestly, I have no idea. Probably smell, yeah.
Let me try to, okay, Allison, do you have a quick thing? You look like
you're always in cities.
Well, yeah, that is true. New York City does smell a little bit weird. That is a thing that I can say for sure. But I guess like the food too, I think that would be one of the first things that I would kind of notice or like would remember.
Let me turn this around again to ask you this question. If you could go someplace just for the weekend and you could just go and the place where you love to go and visit, where would that be?
Right now, school.
Yeah.
Let's think about a city or town. Where would you want to be if you're not going through this experience right now? It's like, I have a weekend, money's no object. This is a place I visited before and I love it. And then I'm going to ask you why.
Probably San Diego.
Okay. And why San Diego, Tyler? What do you love?
I just like the aspect that it has like the city feel, but also the beachy feel. So you kind of get both, which is pretty cool.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to say Florida just because I have a lot of insanely good memories there. Allie, don't look at me. I'll cry.
I was going to say Los Angeles, even though the traffic's terrible.
What do you love about Los Angeles, Taylor?
I don't know. It's kind of like a weird city compared to like a New York or something like that. It's like not as like closed off and there's obviously a lot of buildings, but I don't know, walking around, like the whole atmosphere is a lot different. And the only thing that sucks obviously is all the traffic, but obviously the weather is really nice. And I don't know, I went there for the first time like that this past summer, and for some reason I liked it a lot more than like any other city I've been to. So
when you walk around, what did you see and what did you like? What piqued your interest walking around? You had mentioned food before.
There was a lot of food places. I don't know. I just found it a lot more appealing than just being in going to like New York City and having it all closed off by buildings. It was a lot more open, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
I kind of like that feel because it didn't feel like you were constricted, kind of.
Cool. That's great. Allison, you look like you're going to say something.
I think just because you said money is no option. I don't want to go to New York. I mean, I can go there any other day. I would probably say California too. My uncle lives in Mission Viejo, which is kind of like, I think like an hour outside of LA. And I went there over the summer. And it was just like so interesting. I'd never been to the West Coast before. So it was just so cool. Like being there, it was kind of one place that I've always wanted to go. And like, since we're kind of all like right near New York City or like Boston, like those are kind of like the big places that we can go and see. But like LA was on the other side of the country. So it was like really cool seeing that. And there's kind of like a lot of history all throughout California. And the week that I was there, there wasn't like time to see everything. Like we did so much, but there's still like, I can go back 50 more times and see something different. So I really, really loved it there.
Cool. So you know, those are the kinds of things that like I think about when I ask that question of people. I always say, what is it that makes a place appealing to you? So, you know, is it the food? Is it the open space or the public gathering spaces? Is it art and culture? You know, people, do you love murals that might be painted all over the place? Do you want to have some nightlife? Do you really like a great music scene? You know, do you like the architecture? Do you like the sense of history? Do you like the people? Do you like it to be diverse? Do you want it to feel busy, bustling? Do you like those kinds of things? So, you know, trying to get people to think about, you know, what are the things that make a place feel good, you know, and what are the elements that come into play when you're trying to make that happen in an authentic way in your own community, because you don't want every place to feel the same. You know, like you love Mission Hill, you know, there were aspects, Taylor, you mentioned about California, about LA that made you feel comfortable and welcoming, the openness, the, you know, how that felt to you. Few things that you didn't like. My kids both live in New York City, and they always, when they come out of the thing, they say, "Oh, it doesn't smell like urine or something." but not every place smells that way. And there are a lot of really cool things about it. If you're in Nolita, it's pretty neat. You know, you like, it smells like an Italian restaurant. So smells a really important thing. I mean, that's a big piece of how people experience a place. So I'm a student of that. I mean, how it looks, how it feels. Does it feel welcoming? Does it feel safe? Does it feel, you know, not Disneyfied? Do you want a place to feel authentic to where it is? So yeah, that's another passion of mine professionally.
So I feel like we kind of covered everything. If there's anything else that you wanted to tell us about yourself or WIT or just anything in general, please feel free. I think we pretty much covered everything though.
Well, I appreciate having the opportunity to talk to you guys. I know those of you who are seniors, this really stinks, you know, right now, you know, to have to have your spring semester be, you know, sort of abbreviated or done in a different way. I have to think that as we look back on this, it's going to, there probably are going to be things that you will reflect on this time, and it will maybe look different, hopefully 6 months, a year from now, and how you all come together. But it is a challenge. It's a challenge for everybody. I mean, I'm on the phone with my colleagues around the state, and we've got people who are, you know, working from home, who have toddlers and babies, or older people in their family that they're trying to deal with. They're cooking a lot of meals that they never cooked before, and trying to make it work, and negotiating with a third grader about doing a few more math problems so the mom can, you know, talk on their Zoom meeting. And I actually have my granddaughter here. She's 9 months old, and she thinks every Zoom meeting is for her. And that if she's awake, she wants to, you know, wants everybody to be interacting with her too. So everyone's managing the best they can. I think if you think about it that way and stay safe, do what you need to do to keep others around you safe, I think we'll all learn a lot from this experience. And I think when we come out of it, it is going to change how we operate. I mean, it's going to change how people feel comfortable being in spaces, how they're going to feel comfortable interacting with, you know, with others. And probably going to take a while for us to, you know, come to some kind of new normal, but it's an interesting time. And I think just, you know, trying to keep looking forward. It's my advice. I'm looking that way too, about how do we help each other all get to the next step. And we'll come through this. We will. I mean, there's been bad things that have happened. But I do empathize for you folks who are seniors, and I'm sorry you have to end your semester this way, but hopefully you'll be able to have a big celebration later this summer when things get back to better, in a better place. But thank you for the opportunity to do this. This was really fun. And I actually enjoyed seeing your faces, and it's nice to interact with you that way.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome, and enjoy. Have a great spring. Go outside and look at this beautiful weather today.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.